There are important days in the markets, like yesterday. And then there's really important days in the markets, like today. We ended a six-day losing streak with a nice gain yesterday, a little wobbly near the close. Futures are up for now. Can the bulls make it a two-day winning streak and get this market back on solid ground? Well, GM's helping, GL's helping, Nucor not so much. We got a buyout by Hibbett Sports from a private company. Not much in ratings lands, but Penn Gaming is moving. It's a Tuesday. It's pre-market prep. Let's get things started.
Welcome to Benzinga's pre-market prep.
This is a volatile puppy here.
It's all about execution styles and strategies.
All right, starting the day out in the green by nearly 11 handles at 50.58. Just didn't get to yesterday's high, nowhere near yesterday's low. The buck pulling back, but less than a dime, under 106, 105.83. TLT in the red, hard to figure this market out. Crude down 70 cents at 81.70. Gold continuing that losing streak, down 70 cents at 81.20. Gold that's in the red, 29.80, 23.1680. Silver trying to stay in the 27 handle, down 22 cents at 27.02. And Bitcoin, that's down $520 at $66,090, $96,090. Let's talk to Triple D. And Triple D, we had that rally yesterday. We faded near the end of the day. We got a tug of war going here. Can the bulls make it a two-day winning streak?
Well, the buy the dip crowd definitely won yesterday. The catch the falling knife crowd definitely won yesterday. I wasn't participating in that because it's hard to control the risk. But, you know, NVIDIA, everything held their lows. So now you get a continued bounce here. I mean, obviously,
it was a really good day
for the markets. It was a good bounce back day. It's what the market needed. It was a very ugly Friday, a very good Monday. So now we sit here and you're at the crossroads here. You know, you're obviously on a stock like NVIDIA. You got a lot of losses back. You start thinking about the 50% retracement of the move from Friday. So 840 down to 756. Well, we're back up through that at 806 here now. So far, so good, I would say, for the bulls. You know, maybe you're backing and filling here a little bit. But I think what is going to probably happen more than anything is probably just more chop. You know, we're going to get chopped up. So still fading moves, you know, we're ripping too high. Well, I'm going to get short some stocks. We're buying, you know, we're dipping too low. Maybe I'm going to buy some stocks. I think you're just fading moves overall, both sides.
All right, let's bring in AB and we'll start with a sports segment. AB, how did your tennis match go last night?
Uh-oh.
AB.
I can add him. He's hiding. Okay, so we lost AB for a second. He'll come in when he's ready.
Okay. All right. Well, let's start with, I think the biggest report here, General Motors, we're trading up here $1.94. I was going to say, hey, there's nothing up there to the high of the move. Let me grab that report here, Dennis.
And we are in the Motor City, so we may as well start with General
Motors. Yeah, you got to start with GM.
It's a good one.
262 versus 214, sales 43 billion point 40 versus 41.9 billion, higher guidance. I mean, we've been seeing this for a long time. Cash flow guidance looking good. More expensive cars selling less of them. This is a shocker here, Dennis. GM up $2.
Not really a shocker because we've seen Ford, we've seen Toyota, we've seen all the traditional automakers doing pretty well out here right now. It is not their problem that EV is not selling. They backed off on EV. Traditional cars selling, they're moving to the hybrid models, which they've had some hybrids out there. I bought my first Ford hybrid back in 2008. So, you know, this technology has been out there for a long time. So I'm not surprised GM blew it away here. And it's just showing you that this is an EV problem. This isn't, you know, an overall automotive problem here. Like I've said, and I've said on this show, you know, high ticket items, people are going to have the financing for that. But you know what? Maybe they're finding the financing for the other cars. You know, there is cheaper cars. They just don't want the expensive EVs. So I think that's where we're at here. Is this is not just a demand problem for all autos. It's a demand problem for EVs. Tesla, we're going to find out tonight. We'll find out if can do anything. The bar is so low for Tesla. But, you know, so far, so good. I mean, the value that was in GM and Ford is now starting to come out here. We talked about Ford a couple of weeks ago. I actually liked it. Went from 13 to up to almost 14, but then we had the market pull back significantly and got down that huge 12 support, but bounced right off that area. We're back up here at 13 here now. Ford is going to report Wednesday night too, so we're going to find out from them as well. But GM, so far, so good.
If you're looking for a major breakout here, man, this $46 area is pesky. You peaked there last month at $45.54. You stuck your head above it this month when you got to $46.04. So I'm just going to give you a zone here, and this is going to be just not today, but the next couple days, like $45.75 to $46. If the bulls really want to take control of this stock, put the hurts to the shorts, they're going to get a strong 46 bid in here. That's a long way to go. It is trading some decent volume for Ford here in the pre-market. Pre-market high does come in right in that zone that I talked about at 45.73. This is the highest you've been since March of 2022. So there you go. There's your setup. A Ford 13 wasn't the number, but 12 was the number. Look at that. You had all that support February and March, and then last week when I was out.
Joel, you got to share your charts.
Oh, I never shared my charts?
No.
Macro. We're okay. Just all this rambling and no sharing charts. Let me go to my boom present and entire screen. I'll just go back and show you the GM chart, and then we will move on to our next earnings report. You see that, folks? The monthly highs on the lower right chart on the daily.
I don't know what's going on. I still don't see your charts. Maybe they're going to show up for the people, but yeah, maybe. There they are. Just slow response.
Yeah, slow. There you go. 46. I see still AB lurking in the background. He's not available yet, but let's go to Spotify.
I'm here, Joel. I just had to get my different setup today. I had to make sure everything was all set up. Was having some issues, but here now.
Okay, Bat, how'd your tennis match go?
It went okay. I won one, lost one. I lost one to a guy that I usually beat, but neither here nor there.
Okay, all right. Let's give us our next earnings report. We already did GM. It's just not a heavily followed stock, but let's go to Spotify.
All right, let me go ahead and pull up Spotify's earnings. Which ones have you guys already hit today?
GM's the only one we. Yep.
Those were good, right?
Yep. Very good.
Sorry, just giving me 1 second to pull up my Benzinga Pro.
There. I can bring it up quickly here.
I got
it. We'll get AB. AB, get all set up, and then you'll be ready to go. So Spotify coming out here, 97 cents versus 68. 3.63 billion versus 3.6 billion. So it's a beat on the top, a beat on the bottom. MAU, 615 million. That's up 19% year over year. Premium subscribers up 14% year over year. They're liking all those numbers from Spotify. Always seems like Spotify reports pretty good numbers. You know, even if the stock sometimes goes down, up, it seems like they always report pretty good numbers. Stock has just quietly been kind of a monster here for the better part of a year and a half. Bottoming down during, you know, when they were selling all the stocks out back in 2022 at $69 is now $293. We're still off the all-time highs of $387 hit in 2021 when everybody got stupid. But you know what? They're coming back around here now. This stock has been one of those on the comeback trail. Spotify up 20 points here this morning, up 7%, Joel. Major resistance up at 300, but you know, we are bouncing here. Is this a bounce to be sold? Wow, we got problems here today, man. AB's no pro. Joel's on mute. Can't show the charts here. I'm the one that's supposed to be tired here, folks. I was up late watching all these hockey games here. What's going on? Come on, guys. Joel's going to come off mute here.
296 to 300. That's a major zone. You are filling the gap. You did have a high in the stock 3 days ago at 96.80, then your 3 and 4 day highs are right around 300. So I'm not buying this up $20. And if I was long, I'd be licking my chops if it got anywhere near 300 today.
All right. Yeah, I've got my pro and everything set up now. Thank you, Dennis, for hopping in with the assist there. Speaking of assists, how were the hockey games? Did the Oilers win last night?
The Oilers did. They were killing them, but then they had a couple breakdowns with like 3 minutes to go, and the score looked closer than it was. But the Oilers did win 7-4. Leafs came back, Leaf Nation. I thought that once Boston scored that 2-1 goal in the first period, and it just looked like they kind of were going to start to take it to them. But the Leafs clawed their way back. Auston Matthews' magic, scoring with 7 minutes left. 3-2 Leafs. Carolina had the comeback of the night. They were down 3-0 to the Islanders, and the Islanders blew it with 3 minutes to go. They score the tie, or they have 2 minutes to go. They score the tying goal. Then 7 seconds later, they score the winning goal. So Islanders go down 2-0 in that series. And Vegas with Stone being back. This is your hockey update and your sports update. Vegas Stone back, scores the first goal 1 minute in. We know the saga, if you're following the NHL, where cap circumvention Knights put Stone on the LTIR for the third year in a row and bring him back for the first game of the playoffs so they can add all that, because there's no salary cap in the playoffs, Joel. That's how it works, which is the stupidest thing ever. So they basically circumvent the cap by putting all their good players on LTIR, always Stone, at the deadline, then acquire $10 million with players, and then go into the playoffs with an extra $10 million being Stone, and he was hot last night too. So Vegas upsets Dallas in the first game of their matchup. That's your sports update, folks. Wow. Back to the stocks.
All right. Wow. LTBR, what is that? What was that you said there?
LTIR, long-term injury reserve. We're going to teach you about hockey here yet, Joel. You're going to get this.
No. Wow.
No. You got Canadian blood in you.
That was good, man. You should be a sportscaster. Okay.
Yeah, maybe.
Ever since Don Cherry left, I mean, I think that they've been looking for an adequate replacement.
Don Cherry.
You got
just the outfit. Say those people.
You got the outfits definitely to match Don Cherry.
No, I don't. He's a sharp dressed man. I'm the unsharp dressed man. I'm the anti Don Cherry. Usually ripped clothes. My kids, I got this one shirt I wear all the time. The armpits ripped out. It's like built-in air conditioner. I'm just almost a bum with what I wear here. So I need to clean up my outfits before
Don
Cherry's role.
Don't you have shirts that like they go like you can wear them outside and then you can only wear them in the house? And then they end up being rags.
That's the problem. I continue to wear those rags. I don't leave the house for the most part, Joel. So I don't need the dressed up shirts. I don't leave the house. Work from home, do a little yard work, do a little bit of construction, whatever I do around the house here, and then I'm back to this again. So I don't even know if I need a license, to be honest with you. I don't go anywhere.
All right. Well, one thing you do, Dennis, is you buy stocks. And you bought some GL the other day. We talked about GL after the big short report from Fuzzy Panda wiped out about 50% of valuation in the company. Now been kind of coming back a little bit, up another 86 cents this morning. The company reported earnings. Let's go through that. So EPS came in at $2.78, missed by 1 cent. The estimate was $2.79. Revenue of $1.42 billion came in line. Global Life anticipates about $350 to $370 million of share repurchases for full year. So some buybacks going on there. Either way, I mean, kind of not that many fireworks in the stock after you saw the action in it last week. But Dennis, I'm sure you're glad to see it up a little bit this morning.
Yeah, you know, they just couldn't say anything like really bad, you know, like, well, the investigations continue, you know, anything like that. So they said everything they could say good. You know, they raised guidance full year, 1150 to 12 from the 1160. They talked about doing buybacks. They talked about, you know, even though they missed on the earnings, 278 versus 279, this wasn't one of those classics, oh, miss, sell it. I mean, because this thing's down $60 because they've been accused of, you know, being a fraudulent company after 40 years. I'm under the impression that I just saying the Fuzzy Panda claims, I believe, are exaggerated. That's what I'm banking on. That's why I bought stock. I have no idea. Maybe Fuzzy Panda is going to be right and this is a big fraud and, you know, it's not going to work out for me. But so far, so good. I picked the stock up around, I'd bought some at 57. I added to it at $60. It's $67 here now. Fuzzy Panda will probably tweet about this thing again. They said they were still short stock, even though they didn't say how short they are. So, you know, if they were fully short the position, I would think they would say, we haven't covered a share. They just said we are still short the stock. So, I mean, what are you short? 10% of your position? 50% of your position? We don't really know. But I would bet that they covered some into that big fall when it went from 140. I just think it was overdone. It's a company Warren Buffett used to invest in. It's a company that's been around for 40 years. I don't think this is just some little startup thing that's all full of fraud. I think the claims are exaggerated. That's what I'm banking on.
Now, I don't know about Fuzzy Panda, and I don't know about your long-term portfolio, but I know this thing needs to get through $70. You hit $69.96 yesterday. Your three-day high is just below that. Nothing there on a dailies or anything to indicate that, but I'd really like to see a strong 70 bid. All the people that bought the dip on that, like you, they're like, hey, my target was 68, 65 or 69 even. I could care less about Dennis or Fuzzy Panda, but that's $70. Just looking at just the rebound high here, still $3 away, so I know you're not selling it. I know you're holding on to it, but I just would be, if it doesn't get to 70 the next couple days here, you might get a little bit of a retreat.
Need to separate trading and investing. Not
you got
a trading count, not a trade. I'm just saying this is trading. If the numbers are believable and it's not fraud and they make $12, the stock's trading 5 times earnings. You know, it was trading 10 times earnings and then it got cut in half by Fuzzy Panda. Now it's trading 5. If the claims are exaggerated, if the other, you know, whatever suit, you know, the regulators are looking at in there turns out to be a nothing burger here, I think the stock eventually could recoup some of those losses. Is it going back to 100 today? Hell no. Is it going back to 80 today? Probably not. Is it going back to 100 2 years from now? Maybe. If it went from 66 to 100 in 2 years, that would be a 50% return on my long-term portfolio in the stock. That'd be a pretty darn good return. And to top it all off, you do get a little dividend, 1.43%. They're talking about buybacks here too. So I think the company's probably a little bit pissed off that this happened to them. And if, you know, they're going to look into, you know, buybacks and doing other things, you know,
they're
maybe
confident.
They, you know, cash. It sounds like they got some cash. So I'm just taking the numbers at face value and I'm gambling, a little bit of gamble, that it's not a fraud. I don't think it's a fraud. My spidey senses say Fuzzy Panda probably out of a lot of the trade here now. They made their
money. Oh, I'm sure they
eventually
are
going to move on. That's what my spidey sense. We know nothing. They haven't said how many shares they're covered here. But I've seen these stocks get hit by these short sellers before. Sometimes they do turn out to be nothing burgers. But, you know, like when Citron's picking on Plug, I mean, well, Plug was a pretty tough company with a high valuation. This is a company that was trading at 10 times earnings. Now it's trading at 5 times earnings. So if it doesn't turn out to be fraudulent, I think it's a steal down here. If it does turn out to be fraudulent, I'm going to be sorry that I bought it. So
it would be great if we could go to the local zoo and find, well, we don't have any pandas there. I don't know how many pandas we have in U.S. zoos, but to get a Fuzzy Panda, I'm sure they haven't seen them in the media or anything. I haven't seen them talking their book. I mean, they showed their book.
They're an anonymous short seller. Oh, they don't even have who they are. I mean, they're completely anonymous. There was just a panda with 2 guns. I mean, we don't know if they're even in this country. We don't know anything about Fuzzy Panda. We don't know anything, you know, obviously, you know, regulators, you know, maybe we'll look into whatever, but, you know, like who they are. But right now to the public media, they're completely anonymous. At least Andrew Left Citron is out there. You know, we know who he is. You know, we know, you know, like most of these other people, they're completely anonymous. I mean, Are they not? Are you going to say, I've never seen.
I think they are. No, I think Fuzzy Panda, they stay anonymous. They did, what was the other short they did? They called
Fisker, and that's what's giving them a lot of credit, because Fisker has. So they've got Fisker right for sure. And maybe they're going to get this one right too. But, you know, maybe they're not. So it's a call that, you know, 40-year company, done life insurance a long time. I don't think they're going out of business tomorrow.
Yeah, well, let's keep the earnings train going. You did have Nucor. We'll hop over to like the steel industry real quick. Nucor reported this morning, ticker NUE, and the earnings weren't great. Let's see, we had the EPS came in at $3.46, missed by 20 cents. Revenue came in at $8.14 million, missed by $8.14 billion, missed by $160 million. Nucor says we expect earnings in Q2 of 2024 to decrease compared to Q1 of 2024. So never a good sign when the company is expecting earnings to decrease quarter over quarter. And yeah, so that weak outlook really hit in the stock this morning, trading down about $13.50, about 7%.
Yeah.
And I don't know, this might have been one of those stocks that got a pop last week when they announced the new sanctions on Russia. Looks like we popped up to a right around $200 and now trading back below 180.
This is best of breed company. Nucor is a fantastically run company. It was in my long-term portfolio for the better part of a decade. It just ran from 50 to 150 after doing nothing for a decade, and it felt like it was a little bit overdone. But, you know, it's a cyclical business. One thing to consider is that the economy goes in a downturn, steel stocks get hurt. Economy has not went into a serious downturn in a very long time. So, you know, is this the start of a downturn when Nucor is coming out and warning to a certain extent here? Maybe, but if it's a downturn, it's probably going to be short-lived. You know, I do think there's buyers on pullbacks here in stocks like Nucor. I don't know if they're coming in on day one, but falling knife worked yesterday. So I was saying don't catch a falling knife. Well, I wish I would have been catching falling knives yesterday.
You've taken out the support at the 180 area. You have two lows. If you're going to get a bounce here, I think it's going to be right from this area. 177. You had a low at 176.88. Another low at 178.22. Two lows in the same area. So I'm definitely not shorting this thing in the hole. If it gets a buck above 180, I think you got some scrambling. That, you know, people that had shorted or wanted to try and buy it on weakness. But the important level on the upside is 189. I mean, you had four lows in that area. Now that old support going to be new resistance, but I just want to revisit X here. What's going on here? You had the deal called off, and now it, you know, you had the initial drop and then the pop, and then now you're just hanging out at the $38 area, $39 area, triple D.
They're fighting everything. They're not letting Capri and Tapestry merge. I mean, this is the toughest. On. Yeah, it's just ridiculous. The toughest, you know, regulatory environment for mergers that I've ever seen. They're not letting anything go through. They're going to let, you know, a Japanese company come in and buy a U.S. steel that says United States Steel. It's going to get fought tooth and nail. We said that day. That's why I said you got to ring the register on something like this. When it's 50 and the buy was like 54 or something, you ring the register, you say thank you very much. It was very, 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 very predictable that this would get fought. And then all of a sudden, boom, you know, falls from 47. Everybody's like, oh, I didn't see that coming. What do you mean you didn't see that coming? Oh, listen, pre-market prep. You didn't see that coming. Of course it's coming. It says United States Steel. They let a Japanese company buy that. Union's fighting it. Everybody's fighting it. So we don't know. What we do know is that Cleveland Cliffs was a suitor. And Cleveland Cliffs is a better suitor that probably wouldn't get as much challenging because it's U.S. company. But Cleveland Cliffs has also said if they were to buy X, it would be in the low 30s. Lower. They said that afterwards. So they're not coming to the rescue of 50 bucks here. So if this merger gets blocked, stock's probably back in the low 30s. If it goes through, it's the $53, $54. I don't think it's going through.
All right. Nice rant on that one. We are moving out. Just real quick, let's get it out of the way here. Hibbett Sports, a pick of Reverend Emmanuel Levinson a long time ago, getting taken out by a private company, Hibbett Sports. What's the price on that? Did they give it? It's a private company, so not much of a...
Oh, it's good premium. It's a pretty good premium. You got it, AB?
Hold on, I'm pulling it up right now. Sorry, my computer's been slow in here. Yeah, okay. So, okay. Yeah, Hibbett's up 18.9%. Let's see. So $1.1 billion deal. The current market cap is $855 million. So a little bit.
$87.50 is what he's asking for, which is the takeout price here. So we got $87.50. It is a cash deal. So $86.14 again. You know, they're blocking all deals right now. So do I think they're going to block this deal? No. This deal is very, very small. $1.1 billion merger, very, very small. Probably doesn't get blocked. Would I take any chances sitting around and wait for the last dollar on this? Hell no. I would not take any chances. I would ring the register right now. If they're blocking Tapestry, the toughest, you know, so they may come in and look at this too. You know, I don't think they're going to, but it's not worth the dollar risk. Plus the time value of money. Who is paying 86? Okay, I'm just going to stop right now. $87.50 is the takeout price. Somebody's paying $86.15 for this. We're not in like 5 years ago where the time value of money is zero. If I own this stock, I sell it right now. I hit the bid. That's where I'm at on Hibbett Sports because I don't think a better bid's going to come through here. because it's just a tough regulatory environment for mergers that we just talked about. And they're only giving a dollar. The time value of money is going to be worth more than that. So, you know, 4 or 5%, you know, just move it to cash if you don't like it. Hit the bid and move on. That's what I would say on Hibbett Sports.
Yeah, I mean, I think typically, like in these mergers, you get the big pop. Like we've already seen it up 13.5 bucks. To your point, Dennis, why wait now for this last dollar and a half to 87.50 when you have all the risk overhead? I mean, even though with this one, it's probably going to go through fine, and it's an all cash deal. So like, it, you know, if you did go out and buy it right now, you're probably good at the 87.50. But there's just no point. There's just not enough. You know, there's just not enough upside to be taking that risk there that something is going to happen with this deal. So let's see. We have some other earnings this morning that we have not gotten to. Let's get to let's go to RTX. Let's go to Raytheon, or formerly Raytheon. Those numbers came in at Raytheon reported $1.34 EPS, beat by 11 cents, revenue of $19.3 billion, beat by $900 million. The outlook looks decent, pretty much in line with estimates, which is what we've talked about, that if you're not raising guidance right now, you're probably not getting rewarded in this market. Stock actually trading down a little bit on this report, even though the numbers from top line are pretty good. And this is a stock that's, you know, of course, been in the news recently with all the Middle East tensions and wars going on across the world. But RTX trading down a little bit this morning, right around the $100 level.
There's underneath demand for all the defense stocks here. There's still a little bit of Boeing concerns there, remember, on RTX, which we've completely forgotten about. So that's always, you know, that? A risk. That's a risk from it. That's a headline risk on this stock. It's an overall headline risk that something could happen there again. But, you know, we've completely forgotten about that. Now we're in war times here, at least in the Middle East, and they're just been buying war stocks up. So that's why stocks like that reported, Lockheed Martin reported here this morning too, RTX. Those stocks dip, they probably get bought. This is probably underneath demand. But this isn't really a dip. I mean, it's down 30 cents. So, I mean, it was down $5-6. It probably gets money managers interested. When the stock's, you know, down 30 cents, I mean, money managers are like, ooh, big dip. It's not a dip.
Love this 102 area as potential resistance. You had just a multitude of highs there. Big consolidation between 100 and 102. So want to hold 100 if you're a bull, multiple lows. You want to bust out above 102 and then work your way back towards the all-time highs. Looking at the bottom right chart here, remember all that bad news on top of bad news on top of bad news? I guess maybe linked to Boeing and other things. Got it under 70 bucks. Well, obviously those fix those nuts and bolts here and back up in triple digits. So down 30 cents off that report, but important to hoard 100. And let's see, you did spike over 102 in the pre-market, but right now that range still stands, 100 to 102.
All right, moving on from Raytheon, we also had UPS this morning. Some mixed results. Let's go ahead and pull those up. Stock not really moving that much, down about 0.4%. The financial, we had EPS came in at $1.43, beat the $1.30 estimate. Sales came in at $21.7 billion, missed the $21.86 billion estimate, maintained their guidance despite lower volumes for UPS. So, again, not really seeing too much action in RTX or UPS, but we did have those reports this morning, kind of a mixed bag for UPS. See if FedEx is moving off that as well. Not too much.
FedEx just reported 4 weeks ago, so we kind of had an idea. They report towards the end of earnings season, last earnings season. Always in UPS reports to the beginning, so we kind of have a feeling here. And UPS isn't moving at all, so there's going to be no sympathy move when you don't have the leader moving. You need a leader to move to have a sympathy move here. UPS trading down a buck. It's, you know, it's got good support down here at 140. It's got good value. We kind of moved to a value market the last couple of days where some of the value stocks perked up. It's got the 4.5% dividend. I think you got underneath demand here. The biggest problem for UPS and FedEx and why the stocks have underperformed massively is that Amazon is basically delivers all their packages now. You know, when you order something from Amazon, you don't see a FedEx or UPS truck up there at all. 5 years ago, it was always UPS and FedEx delivering those. And I think that was a big issue for these companies. I think it's hurt them. But still, you know, there's still a lot of people buying stuff online, still a lot of UPS and FedEx trucks out there. companies are still making a serious amount of money, both of them here. So at a certain point in time, they're probably both buys. But Joel, technicals, EPS?
Double bottom, 142.56. That's an absolutely must-hold number. 144 is where the buyers stepped up in the pre-market. Off the headline number, you got all the way to 151 evens. Faded off that, so that's not a great sign. Let's get through yesterday's high. If the bulls want to say, yeah, this is a good report, we like this, we're taking it up, 146.07. That was yesterday's high. That's your clear, not a clear path, but to your next daily high. That comes in at 148.30. So that's a look at UPS, but way off the pre-market high.
General Electric is ripping here this morning, wow, up another $6. There's been no stock that has just been monstrous like General Electric, even since the spinoff here. Now it's GE Aerospace. I mean, just unbelievable move. $38 a year ago, and they even did the others. GEHC was spun off in there in that period here, and that got you some other stocks. Like, GE has just been an unbelievable performer here. Not over the last 20 years. We know it's still off the all-time highs, but over the last year and a half, it's been an unbelievable stock. Here they are seemingly blowing it away again. AB, what are the numbers?
Yeah, so non-GAAP EPS came in at 82 cents, beat by 12 cents. Revenue of $16.1 billion, beat by $400 million. GE Aerospace sees fiscal year 2024 adjusted EPS to $3.80 to $4.05 versus the $3.94 estimate. So again, that guidance coming in, I guess, a little bit on the higher side, improved earning guidance. So they actually bumped it up a little bit. And you had those numbers coming in good. I mean, like you guys said, I mean, to have this stock, to have GE of all stocks, like 5X over, a few year period. I mean, that's a year and a half period. Like I, this is one of those stocks that if you had leaps on it, oh my God, you're probably raking it in right now, because I don't think the market was expecting this thing to move like this. But either way, back up to trading right around $157 now. And yeah, going back to October 2022, this was a $38 stock. So just incredible move in GE Aerospace. The earnings, again, were pretty good this morning. Not amazing, but enough for the market to be bumping it up another $6.50.
Larry Culp might just have one of the best turnarounds for a CEO ever. I mean, yeah, he came in mm-hmm. in 2018, October of 2018, and GE was an absolute mess. You know, we know it was down 90% from the all-time highs. It took him some time. You know, GE didn't just come right back. You know, it was down like $30, and it just kind of sat there for multiple years here. But, you know, what he's done is the financial engineering that you always talk about, Joel, spinning off, focusing in certain areas here. Obviously spun off GE Healthcare. Now he spins off the other business and GEV. And now, you know, the core business here is GE Aerospace. So you got three companies he spun out of here. And now all of them seemingly are doing actually pretty well. So, I mean, unbelievable, really, when you put it together. Bravo, Larry Culp. He turned this story around big time.
We looked at this in the pre-market, and I'm like, oh man, look at this wall at the 158.50 area. You did spike up there in the pre-market. You even got it past there, 158.84. But look at all these highs in this area. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 highs in this area. You're up $6.50. You're not you're it's not exactly like closing up near that area, busting through, but man, if you want to see 160 and change, 161, take out those sellers at 158.5. But right now, we have to be after what? Trading down to a low of 146.76 on Friday here. You're back up near 7-year highs in the stock. Just be aware of that major resistance level. And the other thing, I mean, you talk about the reverse splits. And man, this is one that kind of bucked the trend, Dennis. Remember the plan that he had? It was just a thick, stupid stock, 12, 13, 13, 14.
Yeah, they
14,
did that reverse 15, split where they took the price from 12 to 100. And it was never looking back since. You don't often see companies do a reverse split just because they wanted to make the stock look better. You know, like often reverse splits are done out of necessity where, you know, they're obviously, you know, needing to, you know, do different things there. But in this case here, it was done just because, in like looking at a $10 stock, and it brought confidence back into the stock. It brought so many things. I mean, everything he's done, really, the plan took a long time. Everything he did was right.
Yep. Jack Welch is happy now. But with all those, I mean, what is the real price of GE? Like, with all the spinoffs, the GE.
Well, that's it. Like GEHC, it knocked $30 off the price, and the stock just got that back too. So they got that back in there too, I believe. So GEV, now that spun off, and some shareholders got GEV, and some had, so it's different. But David Prince in the background here. We see him waiting here from T3, who's excellent guest here. Let's go grab David.
Let's go ahead and bring on David Prince from T3 Trading. All right, David, welcome back to Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. How are you doing this morning?
Good. Thanks for having me, guys. How are you?
Good. Well, we're back in the thick of it when it comes to earnings season. Of course, I already had some big companies report this week, but this afternoon you've got Tesla, Visa, Enphase Energy, and more, not to mention the rest of this week. We're going to see hear from Meta, Microsoft, Google. What's been top of mind for you? I mean, are you expecting this to be a strong earnings cycle?
Mainly, but what's kind of on my mind is just if the market's in the mood for it, right? I always like to say where a stock is pre the print may be as important as the print itself. And I don't think anything's pulled back so enormously that I'm super bullish into most of these prints. So I'm sure we'll go through them case by case, but a lot of them, I don't expect bad prints. I expect pretty good ones, but I don't know if the stocks are going to work. A lot like we just saw with the financials. If you remember, most of them actually traded down, and now I know back up. But outside of Goldman, it wasn't exactly a glorious response to most earnings reports. So I'm kind of thinking we have a little bit more of the same, because all of a sudden valuation matters now that maybe we're not going to have 6 rate cuts or 3 rate cuts or 2 rate cuts. So that's where my head's at on earnings season. Case by case, there's a few I'm bullish on, most not.
So you think the bar might just be set a little bit too high for a lot of these companies based on where they're trading heading into the report, I think, you know.
Tech-wise, absolutely.
Okay. So let's talk about the overall market real quick. I mean, we've been in this downturn, and then, you know, yesterday was basically the first relief day we've gotten in a couple weeks. Do you think yesterday was kind of, you know, somewhat of a dead cat bounce, or do you think maybe it could be the start of a bottom new rally? How did you interpret yesterday's price action?
So here's how I interpret it and how I manage my money with it. About 3 weeks ago, I was really cautious, and I started to say risk reward doesn't add up on almost anything. It didn't matter if we were talking biotech, even small cap. I know everyone's wanted IWM to work for forever. But given the environment, bottom line, given the hot numbers we kept getting, and given the fact that our Fed chairman said you're not getting a bunch of rate cuts, I thought we might actually break. And I wasn't, you know, no drama, no calling for tops and bear markets, but very little to buy. And there'd be a few cute trades here and there. But overall, I was kind of looking like, oh my God, I might be missing some upside for the first time in about a year. And then we finally started to break, and I cut down the size of my positions. I had way more shorts on, or short the queues quite a few times over the past 2 weeks. And it was about Thursday. And by the way, all I did for about the last 2 or 3 weeks was, I mean, my playbook was really simple. Less is more, few positions. Every time they take NVIDIA down and it looks like it's crashing, I'm a buyer, because they're always going to go to the best first. And I'm not going to worry about Micron. I'm not going to worry about Dell. I'm not going to worry about Broadcom. But I will buy NVIDIA every time they break it. And I had several trades for like 2 weeks where I'd make 40 or 50. And by the way, not drink the Kool-Aid. So I was a trader, not an investor, for the past 2 weeks. Make a long story short, started buying the Qs last Thursday and Friday, specifically Friday. I'd say my average wasn't the bottom, but like 415, 416s. And said, I anticipate a rally on Monday or Tuesday. Pre-earnings, because earnings, I don't want to be long too many things, but I think we'll get a cute oversold rally. Qs traded down to about 29 RSI. Is that so ugly you have to be long everything? No, but it's as ugly as we've seen in 6 months. And then yesterday I got flat and said, cute trade, right? And on top of it, Friday, everyone thought I was crazy. I got very aggressive in NVIDIA, 800. And then my two big spots were 775 and 762. As of this morning at 8:07, I'm not flat, but I have, you know, almost none. And that I am 90% a trader up here. There's very little to invest in except financials, some industrials. We had a cute trade in Home Depot. And I'm playing the market as a trader till we get a greater pullback.
David, how do you control the risk on something like NVIDIA? And I've been in NVIDIA for a long time, and I trade NVIDIA as well. Just on a candle like Friday, it spooks me a bit. And I've still got, and maybe, you know, I shouldn't have that in my head all the time, but I was saying on Friday, don't catch the falling knife. I mean, what you were doing was actually catching the falling knife. What made you, and it worked, what made you confident enough that this knife was to be caught?
So it's funny, because of course, I had a few people. Anyone who's been around me for 30 years is like, oh, this is what he's good at. But there are other people like, You're an idiot, right? You're buying NVIDIA when it's down 60, 70. You have no way to quantify risk. And the way I look at it is real simple. There are two things you can do. First off, you can manage your size, right? And you can use levels. And I didn't say like once we broke 800, I didn't say, oh, 890. I said 775 next. That's really realistic. And once you break 775, I saw 740 next. That's really realistic. So it's first not assuming you're going to catch the bottom, meaning manage your size. And then it works. I go to best in breed if the news has not changed, right? If there is no difference in the news flow and it is the one that's being taken down with everything else, I find you can quantify your risk simply because if the market's not going to zero, if we are not having a full blown crash, who do they buy first? So when people ask me, do you buy Micron at 113, 110, 107? I said, no interest. Are you interested in Dell? No interest. Broadcom. Oh, guys, I lost you. Sorry. No interest. But with NVIDIA, I had interest. And I simply do it by managing my size. And then
scaling in.
Yeah. And by the way, no BS. Every time it rallies 10, 15, we're trimming right away. So
scaling in and then trimming out. Yeah. Yeah. I got a quick question for you. You talked about, and Dennis makes a very good point about, you know, managing risk here. And you talked about your position in the triple Qs here at the 416 to 418 area. So obviously you were scaling in, you were averaging down, which, you know, is something that
I want to correct you. I don't average down. What I do, and it's not that you're wrong, you don't know me, right? Is I plan out, this is where I'm going to enter, and I'm going to enter in halves or thirds. And if I'm wrong, I'm getting out. But I'm not averaging down. I'm actually averaging in.
Bought the 416 and 417s or 418s on the way up? Because what I'm trying to ask, because I see this thing went to 413.07 last Friday.
Absolutely.
So if I'm if I'm long at 417, 418, you're risking 5 points at all on the downside. I'm just trying to figure out your strategy on the entry. So
real direct, 415, 416. I'm looking for a trade to 420, 422, and I'm out. I got flat yesterday at 421.
I think what David's doing correctly.
But follow me. Yep. This is not catching falling knives, guys. No one's looking for, this is where you get long size of the cues. What I simply said is everyone is bearish. It's a Friday into the weekend. No one's going to be risk on. I anticipate we're going to close on lows. And when we do, I take a stab at it. If I'm wrong and we open up at 410, no one that follows me nor myself is positioned to blow up. But I am positioned to catch a trade because I am a trader right now, not an investor.
So if that went down to 410, you'd say, okay, David, just for the risk portion, if that went down to 410, then you'd say, okay, this isn't working, and you take the loss and move on.
I would tell someone we have potential to see the 200-day at 396. Me, myself, I'd probably be really direct. At 27, 26 RSI, I manage real money. I'm down 4 points all the time to make 6 or 7 points and would live. Most people that run money with me do the same. Now, I get it. If someone's money managing 100, 200 grand, should they risk losing 4 points in the queues to make 4 points in the queues? No. Why go through that risk? But I wasn't taking any size, but I took a very responsible trade, in my opinion, based on size. It worked. This is not like a new thing for me. This is how I trade in an environment that I think is not investable.
It's great to see, you know, there's just different traders with different styles. And obviously you've been in the business a long time, David, so it's worked for you very well, you know, and you've identified, and I think what I really like
about
the
NVIDIA. Can I say one thing? I really think this will quantify. Sure. I didn't buy SMCI, nor was I interested. Most people... Yeah. We were shorting it at 800, even down 100, right? I didn't step into MU at 115. I didn't step into IWM Friday. So what we're doing is going best in breed or best where breed. The money's going to flow into a bounce. This is not some game of knife catching. I don't play that. It puts you out of business. Just want to make that clear.
Yeah, and that's what I was just, that's the point that I was actually going to make for you, is that you were picking the leaders of the group. You're picking where the money is likely to go into first. And that's what I love about that. So, you know, like, so maybe there is a play, you know, and I'm always learning as well. I'm in the business 25 years, been a very successful trader for a long time. And I love learning from other traders and styles. And I think you're making a good point, is that when you are coming into, you know, a market full of weakness here, pick the leadership, pick the stocks that the money managers are going to come into first, because there's so many money managers, David, to your point, that have just missed the NVIDIA run. And they're all hungry, like, please come in, please come in. So it's very, you know, likely that that's going to be the first one that actually shows the strength and shows the life. And so identifying that helps you, obviously, you know, make this trade, you know, and it bounces first, to your point. So I think that's maybe what you got to do, is if you're buying into weakness, at least buy into the stocks that are likely going to bounce back the fastest.
You know, Joel wasn't being tough. He was asking pertinent questions. And Joel, this might also help you with how we trade. So Thursday, before the breakdown on Friday, I also remember that pivot on NVIDIA that was 823. It had broken down, came right into it, 825. I was a buyer there. I also didn't try and get smart and think I caught the bottom. I got out that day at 853, flat. Now, the way I look at trading, and I'm sure you guys as well, you're managing money, right? It's kind of all one trade when it's the same week. So when I'm going back in on Friday, and the same people that are going back in with me, they actually caught 25, 30 points. Well, we've done that about, I don't know, 10 times in the past 2 months. So it's not one trade that changes people's lives. I'm going to be wrong, but also the very same people that are buying, I'd say I didn't catch the bottom. NVIDIA, my blended average cost was probably closer to 775, 78, right? I mean, it worked out, but it wasn't like I got the bottom. But I also had made 100 points. There was a point like a couple of weeks ago where we literally bought it at 850 and 2 weeks later it was 950. So I don't pretend it's like one trade makes or breaks you. We all know you're going to be wrong a percentage of the time. It just so happens if you stick with the best in breed and know where the money's going to flow, more often than not, you'll be right. And then if you bet against it, more often than not, all the people trying to catch the top, they'll be wrong, 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 wrong. And when they're finally right, they'll just simply be making their money back short.
David, we've got this QR code up on the screen for a webinar that you have this afternoon. What can viewers expect to gain from this webinar if they go hop in here and join it?
Sure. Exactly what we're talking about now. So I have been a person that's basically said directly for the last 3 weeks, don't have FOMO. Don't worry about the market. Don't worry about what everyone else is doing. Size down, take your positions down. Let's have more shorts on. Let's not just chase the market and be excited. And let's find shorts like Adobe, which worked for us, and Shopify and a million others. And let's be money managers. Let's not be dopes who just have to be in this hot market because it's going higher and higher. And then let's worry about making money. So when opportunities come, don't worry about having 10 of them. Worry about having 3 of them be sized right, making them work, like NVIDIA, like the Qs, like JPM last week. I was saying it's got to be bought under 180, like Home Depot, which we bought last week, Thursday, Friday, had a cute little 7-point rally, and not really have to worry about the market, but worry about our position. It's really how to position and manage money, take advantage of volatility, and kind of no one's better than the market. But you don't have to be ruled by the market. There are times to be a risk on, times to be risk off. And I deem us more money managers than traders that are like, oh, the market's down, there's nothing to do. Well, when there's volatility, there's tons of things to do. And we're going to chat a lot about that.
All right, awesome. Well, again, that link is in the description, or you can hit the QR code. I'll make sure to drop that link in the chat real quick as well. David, thanks for hopping back on Pre-Market Prep. Always fun to get you T3 guys on the show. Always taking a look at the charts and whatnot.
Appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, have a great rest of your day, David.
Thanks, David. Have a good day.
All righty, guys, we got about 10 minutes left. Some headlines we haven't hit yet. Let's go over to Penn Entertainment. Sure. Ticker PENN is trading up about 5.4%, about a dollar this morning after some bullish analyst coverage from Truist Securities. Let's see. Truist Securities upgrades Penn Entertainment to buy, maintains price target to $23. So now we're currently trading about 18. So that's a pretty good premium there from 18 bucks to 23. And I mean, a lot of these other betting stocks have started to run here. DraftKings, of course, been, as David been saying, best of breed, been doing well, despite I guess a recent dip in DraftKings, dropped from about 50 to 40. But up until that point, DraftKings had been on an absolute tear.
Yeah. Penn, so DraftKings, best of breed, Penn and worst of breed in everything. I mean, this has just been an epic disaster. Everything they did, we've talked about, you know, the Barstool Sports, you know, purchase and then the sale, basically lost the entire thing because they sold it back to Portnoy. Just a mess. They can't figure out what they want to be. They want to be online. They want to be this. They want to be that. They're all over the place here. I mean, traditional casinos like Wynn, Las Vegas Sands have come back from their lows. MGM has come back from its lows. DraftKings has just continued to go up here, obviously, the main online gambling. And then Penn, which is a hybrid of both, has just continued to go down. They can't figure out what they want to do. At a certain point in time, like, it's just, you know, the CEO is going to be under some pressure here because the stock performance has just been abysmal.
Getting a nice pop on this one. You got over $18, $18.60, not holding. I mean, I just see these two pesky highs at 18 and a quarter. And where was the other one? The other one was just over 18. So if this is going to run today, it's going to establish an 18 bid early in the session and work its way up closer to 19. If I really wanted to own this stock on a, you know, I would maybe try and get it on a pullback. The top of yesterday's range, 1707. I mean, you look for catalysts, right? We say, you know, is this going to kickstart it? And we've seen analysts, you know, catch it. I think one thing that's Penn that's different than DraftKings is, you know, they got all those horse tracks. And, man, I just, you know, there's just a big operating cost and horse racing. I know the Derby's coming up. People are getting all excited, but I mean, it's just not as efficient. I just want to mention one thing on DraftKings here, and I don't know if you guys follow the what's going on, but man, there's been a lot of scandals going on, and that guy from Toronto got banned for life. There's a lot. I mean, it's just not good for these players, these mid tier players and stuff. I think the opportunity for them to fix games and stuff is too much. And I think that, you know, eventually this is going to have a bad effect on the gaming stocks. So hold on. I'm holding off on those for the long term, just based on that.
DraftKings, best of breed, though. So if you're just identifying worst of breed, best of breed, and taking David's lessons here, which, you know, obviously trades in different ways, but some, you know, fantastic trades he's made over the, and I think what he did correctly, and again, you know, what I love about it is he's picking best of breed. So if you're buying on dips, you'll want to pick best of breed. Picking NVIDIA's, DraftKings is best of breed here. Buying the stock on dips over Penn all day long.
All right, let's see what other headlines we still need to get to today. We haven't talked Freeport yet. FCX, let's pull up that report. Freeport reported this morning. Let's see. EPS came in at 32 cents, beat by 4 cents. Revenue of $6.32 billion, beat by $620 million. Their guidance failing to impress investors, though. Stock trading lower about 2%. So, you know, I guess the mining business has been pretty strong. The commodities have been doing so well that you'd expect the mining companies to all be crushing it. But again, maybe that bar was set a little bit too high for Freeport. Trading slightly lower this morning, down about 2%.
It's had such a run, man. Another one that's just run so far. Like, you get a dollar dip and you're like, ooh, nice dip. But it's this run from 36 to 54. I mean, what's a 50% retracement of that 36 to 53, I guess, move? You know, you're talking, what, 17 points? Take 9 off from the 53, carry the 2, 43, 44 bucks. I mean, you're a long ways from that 50%, you know, retracement there that I like to, you know, if I'm in stocks or in uptrends, that they often, you know, like I often bounce off the 50%. Long ways away. I think there's no trade here. I think it's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, if you feel this is you got to own this today, and you look at the where the low was before that pop up to over 52, that's the 47.5 area. I just think you take that out. You did trade it under it just a little bit in the pre-market. Bulls are still in control. As long as you hold 47.5, I just don't like the way it, you know, the easy look down to 44 on it. If the bulls really want to say, okay, man, this is just like, wow, we're going right back to 52, they'll establish a 48 bid right off the hop and take this back to unchanged on the session. But I'm in your camp here, Triple D. We just we did a round tripper here. We pulled back to mid-range on the session, and now we're right back up at the pre-market high. So the bulls are biting back for the second day in a row after a 6-day losing streak.
Interesting separation here where you've got S&Ps, you know, and tech stocks really going up. And then IWM is weak here today. You got the IWM that just can't seem to catch a bid here once again. You obviously are starting to see this NVIDIA versus, you know, everything else. It's been there for a while here now. But I think NVIDIA's strength makes people start to back off as much as NVIDIA. Remember NVIDIA getting killed on Friday? Well, they were buying all the value names. And now it's like, oh, no, we're back to this tech AI trader here again. So we're going to sell those value names. So this market, just the rotation in it is still violent. It's the most violent rotation that I have seen in my 25-year career, where they're never buying everything, never selling everything. ETF effects, definitely a lot to do with that. But it's like value versus growth. It's not value and growth. It's like those two things just don't go together. They're not going together at all lately. And, you know, when the growth starts to take off and the NVIDIA starts to take off, they throw the value stuff out the window. When the NVIDIA starts to get hit, they start to say, ooh, let's go buy some value stuff. So it's such an interesting market and, you know, dangerous too. You've got to identify these rotations early here. Now, keep in mind, NVIDIA's had a pretty good run here, you know, in the last couple of days. We've run from 756 up to 807. It's a 50-point pop back up here. Could be some profit taking into this. So, you know, keep an eye on NVIDIA because actually some of the stocks are moving opposite NVIDIA.
Okay, so let's take a look at some of the companies set to report this afternoon. We do, of course, have Tesla. That will be your biggest one. And Tesla's kind of at this very, very pivotal moment right now, trading at around, what are we at, 145 right now, 143. Stock's just been getting beat up. So you don't really have room if you're Tesla to have a disappointing earnings report. Otherwise, it could be, you know, I mean, could be seeing that drop a little bit further. You have Visa setting to report. The credit card companies have looked pretty strong. Enphase Energy, Texas Instruments. And then tomorrow morning, we have Boeing, AT&T, Humana, Biogen, Boston Scientific. But let's go ahead and talk about Tesla just real quick ahead of tonight's report. Joel, what are you seeing technically as we head into the report?
Oh, man, we were talking about this one. It's just such a low bar, you know, just with all the bad news. So, I mean, anything that's good, I mean, you're going to get a pop on this one. Low of the move, 138.80. Didn't see anything on the monthlies, though, but I think I did see something on the weeklies. Was there something in the weeklies in that area? No, nope, just no man's land. So you got to lean on the 138.80 on the downside. And then if you get a pop, I think in order to the bulls to take control once again here, you got to get this thing a solid 150 bid, two highs. Let's just call it one. So on 151.50, I'd be looking to sell on a pop, but man, just been such a steady of bad news. I think it got a low bar. If anything, I would have to, you know, be a contrarian here and lean, you know, be leaning a little bit long into the report. But you know, if they slam it, it takes out that low, then there's absolutely nothing on the monthlies. Next monthly low, 134.27.
This bar is as low as it's ever been.
It does.
It's as low as it's ever been. If they find a way to get under this bar, it will be totally impressive. They say anything remotely okay, the stock probably rallies. But you know what? Tesla had a pretty low bar last quarter, and they found a way to get under it here too. I think, you know, I'm scared boots on the ground. I said a lot of cars on the lot. I think the sales are going to disappoint. It's just a matter of like how much disappointment is priced into the stock here right now from the short term. It is massively oversold. Now, with that being said, you know, the core business is under attack here and EVs are not selling well. So is this something, you know, like I it would not surprise me if this eventually sees $100. And I'm talking against that little piece that I have in my long-term book, but I think we're over in such oversold territory that if they say anything okay, the stock could get a relief pop. That relief pop, I would say, should be sold.
Yeah, and you're starting to see a somewhat, like, for the first time that I can remember, at least since, you know, the COVID markets, you're starting to see somewhat of, I mean, it's still overvalued, but like it's getting to be somewhat of a more reasonable valuation. So again, if the numbers are strong, even if all the growth isn't there, you might have people coming in and see there's value in this stock, you know, look at the EPS and everything. Whereas in the past, it was just all about growth, growth, growth. So now the earnings reports, the market might be looking for slightly different things than
the numbers have come down so far, which is, it's the exact opposite of NVIDIA. Because NVIDIA has raised guidance, and it's like the stock continues to go up, but the PE is not going up because the earnings are growing so much. This stock is going down, and because the earnings are actually starting to come in now, the PE is not coming in, you know. And if we look just in our trusty Benzinga Pro and bring up what the current PE is here right now.
Forward PE of 48.
Yeah, and we were 48 or 50 when the stock was $250, but those estimates have dropped so much for their earnings that forward PE has actually not come down at all. It's the exact opposite stock of NVIDIA, the exact opposite.
All right, someone's asking what the expected move for is in Tesla, and then we'll go ahead and wrap up this show.
Open up the option platform, hang on, because options aren't open yet, so I'm just bringing it up. So all we can do is from the close, we'll grab Tesla options from the closing print. Options chain. What we do is we add up the calls and the puts on this week's strike. We go to the 143. It's close enough. Ballparking at 650 on the close, 735 on the closing print. What's that? 1385? $14. About right. Is my math right? $14. Yeah. Looks like about $14.
So about 10% here on Tesla stock.
Yeah.
Well, all right, guys. Again, we have a lot coming this afternoon. Joel, who's gonna be coming to join us on tomorrow's show?
Ivan. Good old Ivan Feinseth. We haven't talked to Ivan in a while. One of the mega bulls that we've had on the show over the years are Tigers Financial Partners. Ivan Feinseth joining us tomorrow on pre-market prep. On the upside for you bulls here, yesterday's high is only 12-13 handles away here at 76.75. Not much after that until you get up to the highs from last week. I believe last Friday's high last Thursday's high at 95.25. But see if you could take out yesterday's high. If so, that would be a good win for the Bulls today, battling back after that 6-day losing streak.
All right. Well, thank you to everyone who tuned in with us today. Thank you for being patient with me this morning as I was dealing with a new setup. We've got the office in here. It's getting a little crazy ahead of our draft event, but we should be back to normal here pretty soon. Again, if you guys haven't signed up for that draft page, I can drop that in the link one more time before we wrap up the show. Dennis, any final thoughts as we head into today's trading?
I think we're still in a fade market where you're taking the profits when you got the bounces. You're not sitting around looking for 20, 30, 50% gainers here. You're looking for 5, 10% moves and taking the money and run. So we'll say it's a Steve Miller band market. Take the money and run.
Boom. There you go. No one to hold them. No one to fold them. Some Kenny Rogers as well. All right, guys, we'll be back tomorrow, 8 a.m. Make sure to tune in to see Ivan Feinseth. We'll probably hear about why we shouldn't be too worried about the recent price action in the markets, if I had to guess. Till then, guys, stay green. Smash the like if you haven't already.